Before I get into that, I also want to say welcome to Pastor Bogle. Pastor Bogle is here with his wife and family. May the Lord bless you today. God bless you. I just pray that you're enjoying our service this morning. God bless you, brother. Praise God. Last week, we looked at the provision of God through transition. You remember that service last week? Or you're here with me last week, or you were here present, but were you with me? Trusting God, and this week I want to look at continuing on that series on trusting God through the process of change, through the process of transition. And we're going to be looking at a couple of verses in the book of Exodus today, Exodus 13 and Exodus 14, and then we're going to just read it together. But before we get there, I just want to give you a little history of what's going on. The provision of God was last week, and the provision of God in the midst of change. We can trust God in God's provision. Because of God's power in God's word, God provides. And when we trust in his word, and when we trust in him, God does provide in the midst of change, in the midst of transition. Every person on planet Earth that you and I know will experience change, you like it or not. The question is how are we going to stabilize our hearts in times of transition? We've looked at that last week. Transition is a great word. No matter where you are in life, whenever you are in life, you will experience change. Change is good. So at times we might think change is not good for us, but change is good at times. We have been told that in our lives, change happens regardless whether it is welcome or not. It just happens. Change just happens. So when the change happens, when transitions happens in life, don't we should talk about this? How are we going to stabilize our hearts when there's transition, when there's change in our life? Isn't that a topic that you and I should talk about? Because every one of us will face change. And at times we are facing change right now at this moment. As I speak, we're going through a transition in life, individual, in maturity, in a spiritual walk with Christ. And even as a church, we're in a transition. We're changing in a new season. And I want to go into the scriptures today in trying to get through God's word and trying to apply the truth of God's word in our lives so we can apply this in our lives to help us go through transition. All of us are going to be in a season of transition, a new season that God is moving you from one place to another. Every one of us. And some might be in spiritual lives, maybe some of you in maturity in every area of our lives, and even as in the church, God is changing things around. There's a transition happening also in the church. God is moving us from one place to another place. Do you get that with me this morning? We're not the same church as 18 months ago. God is moving this church to another place, to another calling, to another higher place. God is moving. And while God is moving, you and I should know how to get the truth from God's word to go through the changes. We don't like change, but change does happen. As long as we don't change the word of God, methods could change. We've looked at it last week. The Lord does not change. He will not change. He will never change. In the past, he has never changed. In the present, he has not changed. In the future, he will not change. We serve a God who's unchangeable. But there are things in life that you and I change daily, every day. This morning I would like to look at the Israelites as an example as they walk through transition. And I pray that it will help us go through our transitions of life. Every one of us are facing a transition, so you relate to your transition of life. Look at that and examine yourself. This is the change that I'm going through. This is transition I am going through in my life. And I just pray through God's word it would help us and it will encourage us this morning to overcome and to help us go through transition this morning. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 to 22. The Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud and led them on their way during the day and a pillar of fire to give them light at night so they can travel day or night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left its place in front of people. Now, Exodus 14, verses 9 to 10. This is where you're going to have to help me, because some words are very hard to pronounce here. So if you pronounce one of the right words over there, I can give you a trio at McDonald's. And I like to read it together because I like to laugh with you this morning. The Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots, his horsemen, and his army chased after them and caught up with them as they camped by the sea by the Pi-Hahiroth. I don't even know if I said it right. In front of Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw the Egyptians coming after them. Then the Israelites were terrified and cried out to the Lord for help. Exodus 14, 19 and 20. Then the angel of God who was going in front of the Israelites' forces moved and went behind them. The pillar of cloud moved in front from in front of them and stood behind them. It came between the Egyptian and the Israelite forces. The cloud was there in darkness, yet it lit up in the night. So neither group came near to the other all night long. Now, as we look at these texts, you have heard many sermons on this, am I right? You have heard many messages on this about the transition of Egyptians, of the Israelites being captured by the Egyptians, and they were enslaved. As I know many of us are in transition, so I really want to share with you this text that we've read. And my goal is that to bring out God's word to help us understand, to make us sure that we will continue to trust God through even through transitions of life. Because many times when transition comes in life or change comes in life, we as human beings start to give up and start even realizing, is it really God bringing me to that next level of life? And human being, we just quit and we just stop. And we look at through the Israelites, we're going to see through the Israelites 40 years of transition going to the promised land through Canaan. 40 years it took them, and we're going to look at that today, this morning. Thousands of years ago, according to the Old Testament, the Jews were enslaved in Egypt, and the Israelites have been in Egypt for generations. But now they have become so numerous, and Pharaoh feared their presence. He feared that one day the Israelites would turn against the Egyptians. The favor and abundance to the children of Israel experienced it while they were in captivity began a shift because of this new Pharaoh who began to oppress them to try to hold them back. Because of how they felt, and they've seen that it's growing fast. The Pharaoh seen that the Israelites were growing so fast and numerous. He became so oppressed, and he attacked and did everything to the Israelites because he was afraid that they would overtake the Egyptians. This is in the Old Testament. When we really read the Old Testament, there's a lot of violence. Amen. Isn't there a lot of violence in the Old Testament? Everybody's trying to kill each other and trying to get into a place. Pharaoh was an enemy for the Israelites. Pharaoh was there to oppress them. This Egyptian king was an anti-God figure. He repeated himself, places himself in a direct opposition to the Lord's plan. God's chosen people knew how to pray, knew how to cry out to the Lord in desperation. And the Bible says that God heard their prayers. In Exodus 3, verse 9, it says, the Israelites' cry for help has come to me, and I have also seen the way Egyptians are oppressing them. The Israelites cried out to the Lord. That needs to be engaging. It needs to be encouraging to us, because there is a God who answers the cry of his people. There is a God who responds to our cries. Not only he responds to a cry, but the Bible tells us the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to the cry for help. Not only that he hears us, but his ears are open to the cry and he responds to the cry of his children. So rest assured, my brothers and friends and sisters, when you cry out to God, when you're doing the will of God, when you're walking where God has called you to be and called you to go, when you call to him and you cry out to him, you be encouraged because God will respond. That's the God that we you and I serve when we're in transition. Don't believe in the eye of the enemy whatsoever. God is there with you in this time of change. In this time of transition, God is there. Because that God cannot change. He loves his children. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you and he loves me. So he knows when you're going through that transition of life. He's there, attentive to our cry. He hears us when we call upon him. No matter where you are in life, we have a God who hears us. Why does God hear us? Because he is God. Because he is God. He never sleeps and is always available to hear our prayer. We as human beings sleep. Maybe some of us sleep 6, 8, 10 hours a day. And when you're sleeping 10 hours a day, no one, you can't hear from that person. But God never sleeps. He's there, attentive to your cry, to my calling every day, any time of the day. You just cry out to God, and his ears are open to the cry for help. That's the God that you and I serve this morning. Isn't that encouraging to know? Isn't that encouraging to know that there's a God out there who loves the children of God? He goes, Son. He goes, Quentin. He goes, Twilight. He says, Lily, yes, you're going through a transition, but I am there to hear. I am there to talk to you. I am there to guide you. I am there to be with you through this transition. Don't you worry, because I am there, because I got your back. That's what he tells you. God is so amazing. And at times I look around the world and we see people trying to question who this God is. Stop questioning who this God is and start asking, if you are the true God, speak to me, God, and you will see God will do so. So while they were praying, God sent Moses to help them to lead the people of the Israelites, Israel people. For 40 years of his life, he was spent in Egypt, Moses, learning first from his mother about God for 12 years, and then learning from Pharaoh the skills needed to run Egypt. And when Moses was about 40, he saw that one of his own people being beaten, and he tried to take things into his own hands. He killed the Egyptian, and because of his impulsive act, he had to flee from Egypt and from Pharaoh. Now, Moses spent 40 years working as a shepherd. God needed to teach Moses patience and trust, working with the sheep day after day, and taught him bold, taught him. The Bible says that Moses became the meekest man on earth. Fast forward a little bit, and then the word of the Lord came from the burning bush where Moses was. This bush was on fire, but was not consumed by the flames. And it was right there where Moses was appointed by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt into Canaan. That needs to encourage you. When you encounter that burning bush, when you spend time with God, when he spent time with God with that burning bush, he was not the same at all, because God has encountered him. God has spoken to him. God has ministered to his life. Now God has appointed him to do that job, to go and take the Israelites out of Egypt and take them out and say, you will lead them out of Egypt and bring them to the promised land where I called you to lead them. God has a call for every one of us this morning. If you encounter that burning bush, he didn't just call you to sit and warm up a pew. He called you to do the greatest things. He called you to get up and do the things that God has called you to do. Go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of you might be missionaries. Some of you might be evangelists. Some of you might be pastors and deacons and teachers and so on and so on. God does not just prepare us to sit down in a place. He wants us to go out and proclaim the word of God to individuals. But God has called every single one of you this morning. Every one of you have been called by God. Moses, I heard the voice of God and said that you will go back to Egypt and go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now Moses had to go back to Egypt. He just killed someone there. And God, you're telling me to go back there and get these people out of there? Are you insane? God does these things to us at times. Go back to the same place. No, I don't want to go back to the same place. This doesn't make any sense. But God knows why. He has a plan. We just have to trust and obey. As we heard last week, we sung a hymn, trust and obey, for there is no other way. Trust in his word. Trust in his calling. And then Moses comes. Moses was called by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses making all excuses as you and I make excuses when God speaks to you. Oh, I'm not qualified, Moses says. I don't have enough education. I don't think it will work. We are like Moses at times. In some degree, we're like him. We got assignments from God. And we're like Moses. We make tons of excuses in why we can't do it and what God has called us to do. And it happened to me, even though 18 months ago when God spoke to my family and I and said, you got to go to New Hope Christian Assembly and do what I called you to do. Those excuses came to my mind too. I can't go there. They won't understand me. It's the West. They have no idea how the East worship the Lord. What can I go do there in the West Side? I'm not qualified enough. There's big preachers out there in the West Side. And all these excuses came to me. And I think I'm not the only one. When God prompts your heart, when God speaks to you, as human beings, we end up saying excuses just as the Moses was saying excuses. Oh, I can't do that. I don't have enough education. I've never read a whole book until I became a Christian. I didn't even know where to start with the book. But God, and those are the excuses. Oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. You're not good enough. They're not going to listen to you. You don't have those nice intellectual words that will attract thousands of people to come into church. That's the enemy playing with our mind. And the excuses, we make excuses. And some of us also make excuses. The Bible says that God was about to kill Moses because of his excuses. That's scary. When God calls, we don't doubt. And I said this a couple of weeks ago, doubt the doubt. Doubt the doubt, and trust in the calling of God on your life, and believe that God has greater things for you. Don't make any excuses. Because of his disobedience, there are consequences when you and I disobey. There are consequences when you and I disobey. But finally, Moses goes on. By the way, just my introduction before I get into my message. So just stay awake, because I'm just getting there, okay? I haven't started yet. Finally, Moses, he goes to the promised land with the promise of God and now stands in front of Pharaoh and tells him that. He goes, I heard from God and he has told me to tell you, you got to let his people go. But Pharaoh thought he was the God. Pharaoh was a big guy for himself in his mind. He said that, do you know who you're talking to? Do you understand who you're talking to? How dare you stand in front of me, before me with your God, and tell me to let your people go? How dare you speak me that way? Do you know who I am? But with the hard-headed and stubbornness of Pharaoh, God sent plagues towards him. You know the story. How many did he send? Not 9, but 10. 10 plagues. And look at these. Water turned into blood. Fish died. Frogs. Then the plague number 3 and 4, biting insects and wild animals, and still disobeyed. Oh man, we can be stubborn like that. God just speaks to us, and we disobey. Here it is, Pharaoh is doing the same thing. Not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, but still disobeying. And then comes on the 5th and the 6th, livestock, diseases, and boils. They are biting fleas in the region which transmit livestock diseases all over the animals. And then number 7, the fiery hail. Number 8, the locusts. And here he is, he's still disobeying what God had told him to let the people go. Then 9, the darkness all over. And still disobeying after the 9th one. How many times God speaks to us and we disobey over and over and over again. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. And he still loves us. And sometimes he will do the extreme the way he did to the extreme. To the last one, he takes his firstborn child. Wow, that's painful. That's painful to take your child. But God did that because he was telling him to let the people go. and he disobeyed. There's a consequence to pay when God calls you to do something. There's a consequence to pay. We just need to act in obedience and say, yes, God, I want to do that. If you might think in your mind and your human eyes, it is impossible for me to do that, just trust him. Trust him. And he will help you through it. He will help you through it. Now, I got a couple that give me a call. They're having big situations in their marriage. I don't know who this couple is. I don't know where they come from. I've even never met them. I never seen them. But I got this call to visit this couple. So I went to, before going there, all these excuses started coming to my mind. All these things. What about if I go in and they stab me? What about if they kidnap me? All these things are happening to me. It didn't make any sense. I serve a big God. And if God may open that door for me to go there, it's because he prepared it for me. And all these little things. You never know, you know. He might jump on me. He might steal me. They might start saying, you know, like, okay, you got to go to the church and get money from me now. You know, like, you never know. Like, all these things playing with my mind. And then all of a sudden, I said, no, it's not possible. So I'm driving there. Oh, Lord, if you call me to go there, you're going to protect me. Now, I got to pray like that. You're going to protect me, Lord? I want to make sure. So I started praying, and before I get there, I says, Lord, the most important thing is when I speak, let your Holy Spirit just throw through my life to touch this family. And before I even said that, I says, before I even shake the person's hand, let them just feel the shock of Jesus in their life. So I get inside. I spoke maybe there around 2 hours with this individual, this couple. Just look at this couple. And all of a sudden, I see a pad that was there, and it says a church's name. It says, are you a believer? And the person says, no, I'm not a believer. I just took this. I found it. I visited a friend's church and I just took it. I never went to church since. It's 7 years that they had that pad. But then God just spoke to me. And I look at the individual and I says, you reconcile with God. Reconcile with your wife. And I just gave that opportunity to accept Christ as the personal Savior again. Though he didn't do it at that moment there, it's okay. But all these excuses come into our mind that we can't do it. But God, when he plans something, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. At times, we disobey when God speaks to us. Remember September 11, 2001. Do you remember that day? The Twin Towers came down. One pastor said thousands of people were going into churches to hear answers, to find out answers what is going on. They wanted to go into churches. They went there before even church started. They were there because they were so hungry to know what was happening to them. But as the years passed, the same flock that's entered in is the same flock that went back outside to do the bad things again. Just because a tragedy comes, we flock ourselves to the things of God. But when everything is settled, when everything is settled and everything, you got your answers. Sorry, I can't do it. And we withdraw ourselves from the things of God. What does God have to do to us for us to obey him? Does other twin towers have to go down for us to obey him? I believe there is a God out there who loves you and he loves me. And he wants the best for you and for me. And he speaks to us daily. And he calls us daily. He says, wake up, my son. Wake up, my daughter. You have greater things to do in this world. This is my encouragement to you. Just because you're 7 years old, you think you can't do anything? You can do a lot, my friend. Show me how to woodwork. Show me how to cut something that I don't know. Show me how to put a nail in a wall that I don't know, that I got to pay someone to do it. In doing that, now the gospel of Jesus Christ is being presented to individuals. Floods of people went into churches. And then we even ended up disobeying. As time passed by, they started to drift away in the things of God and the things of the church. Here it is, then God, the 10th plague, death on the firstborn. If that's the last plague indeed, selectively tended to affect the firstborn. Lord, have mercy on us. We want to obey you, Lord. We want to obey the most that we can. So this is just my introduction for getting to the message today. Amen? Are you with me this morning? There were people in transition, the Israelites. There was a changeover, a shift in their lives. So here it is in a brief history to get to the point this morning. Now Moses is leading this people. Now I want to go back to you, to this church, the New Hope Christian Assembly. Pastor Sion had led this church for many years, for 16 years. He was like the Moses of the church. But we got to praise God for that leader. We got to praise him for that leader. But I can tell you one thing. God is bigger than what a man can do. We, you and I, must focus on what God can do and not what man can do. This is what we fail in the churches, because men and women flock their eyes on a man instead on God himself. God can do bigger and greater things than a man can ever do. And when I hear this, the past Moses, oh, the past did this, oh, the past did this, this past Moses did this. Great, thank God for that. But I know that I serve a God who can do bigger and greater things. That's the God I serve today. So my first point this morning, what can teach us through the scriptures? What can help us through this transition of life? Point number one, make sure that God is leading you. Oh, you thought it was going to be one of those theological questions. Little point, very simple. Make sure that it's God who's leading you. What does the Bible tell us? The next verse, you see Exodus 13, verse 21. The Lord went ahead of them. So make sure that God is leading you. Make sure that God is leading your life. Make sure that God is in every move and every step of your life. Because if God is not with you, you're not going to go far. Because there's an enemy out there who will cut you dry. He will cut you down. And even if you follow a human being and say, I'm going to follow this person there, let me tell you something. That person can fail. But God will never fail. God will never fail. He won't turn to the right. He won't turn to the left. Because God is a God who is faithful. And he's always going to be faithful. So my brother, my friends, church of God, focus and make sure that God is ahead of you. Make sure that he's guiding you in every step that you do. They recognized, even though that they had a Moses and an Aaron, thank God that you have a shepherd of the church, but I don't want you to look at me because I may fail you. Look at Jesus. Look at God. Look at the Lord and say, Lord, you are my step. You are in front of me, God. And when you follow the Lord, when you're taking the steps and following Jesus and you're following God, there's greater things that are going to happen in your life. That's when you wonder why pastors are burnt out. Underpaid, destroyed. 3,000 pastors, maybe a month, quit on their jobs because we burned them out. Every little thing, Pastor so and so. No, church. God is your eyes that we must look at. Thank God for the shepherd of the church. But if I'm burnt out, I can't lead the church. If Moses is burnt out and out of the way, those people would never get to the promised land. The complaints after the complaints after the complaints. For 40 years, Moses said, oh, give me patience, Lord. Give me patience, Lord. Look at the beauty of God. It's important that we are led by God, church. But we need to make sure that our eyes stay on God. Where God wants to take us is much bigger than a Moses can take you and I. Do you get that? Many around the world or even in churches have been discouraged because they have been focused on the past Moses. You have heard many stories of all those pastors that have failed human beings. And people have turned their eyes away from the things of God because of a failure of a man. Because their eyes were focused on the wrong person. The person is the Lord that you have to focus. I'm human just as you. It's very rare that a pastor will speak that way. Usually pastors like to speak highly of themselves. But I don't. Because it's a great responsibility for me to lead the people of God. But not to lead them to me, but to lead them to Jesus. That is my calling. We better make sure that God is leading us. The one who directs our steps. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. There is nothing I lack when the Lord is your shepherd. When the Lord is your person, the source that you must look before anybody else. And when you focus on Him, there is nothing that you will lack into your life. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and show you the way to go. I cannot do that. I can lead you to a certain point. But with my eye on you, I will give you counsel. God is the one who can do that. And in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own understanding. Think about Him in all your ways. And it's He that will guide you on the right paths. Make sure that God is leading you. Make sure that God is leading the church. That's the key. Because God is going to bring us to a bigger place than I can bring you. Point number two. Recognize God can be exactly where we need Him to be at the moment in which we need Him to be in. Recognize God can be exactly where you need Him to be at the moment in which we need Him to be in. God is Jehovah Jireh. God is our provider. Genesis 22:14, Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. So today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. We serve a God who has the ability to be exactly we need Him to be in the season you are in today. Exodus 13:21 says, the Lord went ahead of them in the pillar of cloud to lead them on their way during the day, and the pillar of fire to give them light at night so they can travel day or night. Because you and I serve a big and a mighty God, He is exactly where we need Him to be. God was at the right moment they needed Him to be. The people of God, the chosen people, were walking, and God was exactly at the moment where they needed Him to be. Wherever you are today, God is exactly where He needs to be. It might be confusing for you. You might not see the results now. It might be blurry. It might be confusing. You might have some even questions about it. What is going on? But God is there the right time and the right moment where He has to be. And He's beside you. Just trust Him. Obey Him. And you will see, be faithful. God will help us through it. New hope, when we go through seasons of transition, let's place our faith and hope in Jesus Christ. We need to be encouraged, church. And that encourages me because God is our provider. God is our provider. Why does He provide for us? Because He is the supplier. He is the source of our supplier. He is the source of our supplier. For 40 years wandering in the desert, for 40 years God even provided them manna. Even because of the complaints, even because of those all the time that they complained, the Israelites, God even provided them manna every single day of their life. That's the God that you and I serve. We fail daily. We make mistakes daily. But God still provides. Isn't that a big God? He's an awesome God. You know, 40 years it took them. It had to be a journey of 11 days. That was long. Lord, help me. I don't want to wait 40 years to go to that land. But it took them 40 years. And the Jehovah Jireh, the provider, was there day after day, day after day, day after day for 40 years. You and I disobey. You and I fail. You and I make mistakes. You and I complain. You and I say things that are bad. You and I think things that are hurtful. But God is still there, and He provides for you and for me every single day of our life. Why does He do that? Because He loves you. And He has a place, better place, a bigger place than any human being can ever do or can ever be. God is my supplier. God is our supplier. God is our supplier from this church. Historians say that the clothes, when they walked for 40 years, have never grown out. Isn't that a God a supplier? And we want to change every couple of days. We want to go buy something new. For 40 years, the same. But it never worn out. It never outgrew them. Because God was there. God was there. So even though we disobey God, He still provides. Even if they complain, God still provided for them. Even through the rock. You know, Moses got in trouble because he hit it twice. But even though the rock, the water still, it made them drink. Isn't that a big God that you and I serve? So watch this. Do you remember the first point? Remember the first point? Let me get to my points again here. What was the first point? Make sure that God is leading us. The second thing, recognize God can be exactly where we need Him to be in the moment in which we need Him to be in. And the third thing is, we have an enemy. They had an enemy. Now, this enemy let them go. And it's the same enemy after them. You see how the enemy plays with us? We win something, we succeed, God helps us overcome. And that same enemy will come again. And he will come again. And again and again and again, because he wants to cut your legs off. Because he knows the bigger place where God wants you to be. And he doesn't want you being to that place. Because when you reach to the place where God has called you to be, it will impact thousands of people around their lives. The enemy does not like us. He hates us. He detests us. Use those words. He will not give up, and he will never give up. And the Bible tells us this. Look at this. Exodus 14, 9 and 10. I underlined it. What does it say? The Egyptians and what? All. And he came full force. He took everything that he had to go against them. And the enemy will do the same thing. He will take full force to against your life and to against my life. So, friends of God, be ready. Be strong. The enemy's out there to hurt us. He's not there to tickle your armpits. His purpose is to destroy your life and to destroy my life. You know something? And he has won thousands of people with the number one word, lie. So we, children of God, we are going through the transition. But once we're going as a church or as an individual, we have an enemy who's after us. When we're going to the place where God has called us to be, even if it's the things of the church, if there's things that we want to do in the community, because it's biblical, the Bible tells us to go and make disciples. If we do things in a community, I tell you, the enemy is not going to be happy. He will come full force to go against you. He will come full force to hurt you. He will take every tool out of his tackle box to hurt you and to hurt my life, to destroy the church of God. But you and I serve a big God. You and I serve a big God. The enemy was after the Israelites. And look what it says, verse 10. And then it continues, like, the Egyptians, all of his horses and chariots as horsemen. And his army chased after them and caught up with them, and they camped by the sea beside, what is that word again? Okay, we know that. In front of Beelzebub. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw the Egyptians coming after them. And then the Israelites were what? Were terrified. But you know, when you are terrified, when you're living in fear, you cannot go ahead. But they took that courage. They were terrified and they did not stop there. They continued and said, they cried out to the Lord for help. Look, take note for a moment. They didn't cry out to Moses. They didn't cry out to Aaron. They cried out to the Lord for help. When situations happen in life, the first time it happens, they call the pastor. My uncle told me this years ago. He was serving in a big church. 1,000 people in Montreal at that time. And he gets a phone call at 3 a.m. And the woman calls, he goes, "Pastor, can you come here? My husband is beating me up." And my uncle said, "Call the police." "What do you want me to do? Get beaten up with you?" "I'm not going to come and get kicked. Call the police." You know what I'm saying? Call God. That's the first person which you got to call. Look at Touch It Teachers right there. They were terrified. They cried out to the Lord. Wow. Man, I cry out daily when my wife fights with me. "Lord, help me." I think we all do that, huh, spouses? "Oh, Lord, help me. My wife doesn't learn. She's not understanding this, Lord. Please, I prayed for patience and you sent her." You get my point. Cry it to him. And the Israelites learned not to cry to Moses, but to cry out to the Lord. And when you cry out to the Lord, you're not going to get a response the way at times we respond. Stop crying, okay? You know, when we have problems at home, everybody will have a situation in life. And then we have a problem, and some men see their wives crying, or vice versa. "Oh, be a big girl. Stop the cry. Why are you crying for? You can do it. You're a strong woman." Women, cry to God first. Because men will fail you. They cried out to the Lord for help. The key is to cry out for the Lord for help. And they didn't cry out to Moses. They cried out to the Lord. But watch this. This is so amazing when you cry out to the Lord. Because if the enemy gets me, he will also get you. If he tries to get me, he's going to get the church. At times we're expecting the pastor to be there for everything that we do in life. And I'm not trying to say I don't want to do my job. I'm not trying to say that. Please understand me this. Because there are times you don't have to call the pastor. Call God first. And then God will direct and help you. And then he will use the leaders to help you pray, to help you see differently things. We're here to encourage each other. I'm not trying to get away from the job. Please, don't get me wrong here. You can call me anytime you want, but the first thing, I want you to call him first. I cannot heal you. He heals you. I cannot save. He saves. I don't have $1 million to give you on your account, but he has more and more and above that anything else can happen. I don't have that. My supplies will finish. My resources will finish. But his will never finish. Church, call upon to him. Watch this. This is when you call. This is more exciting for me. This is exciting for me because I'm getting to my point this morning to conclude. When you cry out to God, look at this. Point number 4. God has our back. Watch this. The Roman soldiers have this. Ephesians says, we're not fighting against human. We're not fighting against blood. But we're fighting against the spirituality of the darkness of this world. Now this armor of God, when it says put on the full armor of God. When you have this, there's nothing in the back to protect you. But I can tell you, God is there to protect you. Why do I say that? Because look at this in verse 19 and 20 in chapter 14. Then the angel of the Lord, who was going in front of the Israelites' forces, moved and went behind them. Oh, God has your back. God has your back because he came and he went behind him. And you, before you get into Israel, you're going to get through me first. God has our back. I don't know what to say anymore. That excites me. So let me tell you something, sister, brother. If you want to backstab me, you can do all you want because God has my back. Oh, yeah. God has my back. God has your back. You must have read this 100 times. But he went behind them. Isn't that amazing to know? That you can walk through the valleys and he has your back. You can walk through the storms and he has your back. You can walk through anything of life or transition of life. He has your back. He had their back. That's the God that you and I serve. He loves you and he loves me so much. The people of Israel were going ahead to the promised land. They were faithful where God was leading them. Church, if you and I are faithful to where God is going to lead you, God is going to lead the church. Rest assured that he has our back. As long as we obey and be faithful what God has called us to do. If we do that, he has our back. You ever walk to a place and you feel like afraid? You ever walk through an alley and you're walking, I feel there's someone beside me? You ever feel that, or am I the only one? You feel a lot. I think you can eat 2 gods over there. But the God, if we're faithful to him, he will have your back. He has your back. New Hope Christian Assembly. If you can look, if you look, it might look bad in front of you today. The situation in your family, situation at home. You might say, it's impossible, God. How can we overcome this situation? Be faithful to what God has called you to do. Be faithful what God has called you to do. Cry out to him. Respond to him. Just call to him daily and ask him. And you'll see the Lord, the angel of the Lord, will come back to you and protect you. I quote from this, an angel of God which went before the camp of Israel. The Jews say this was Michael, the great prince who became a wall of fire between Israel and the Egyptians. The great prince will protect our back. The great prince will be there for you and I. He will put this wall of fire behind us that no one can get close to us, because once they try to get close to us, they get burnt. Because we serve a big and a mighty God. Be faithful, keep on focusing, and walk towards where God is leading you. Let the people of God walk in integrity, walk in honor, and with holiness. And when we do that, he will protect you from your enemy. The key is just be faithful. Be faithful what God has called you to be. New Hope Christian Assembly, you are from God. You are a child of God. You are a son and a daughter of God. The Bible says, and you have conquered them because of the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in this world. The one who is in you is greater than the one in this world. You are a child of God. And that excites me. We have a God that we can trust because he has our back. He has our back. Are you with me this morning? Can I go on and preach another hour? No, I can't. Because I might lose my job. No. We have a big God, church. And I know that God is leading this church to a different transition. Don't resist change. Don't. Trust Him. When God says, I will build the church, it's not me or you, it's Him. So when He builds the church, He will provide finances, He will provide everything that we need in this church to build the church of God. He cannot fail because that's a big God that we serve. But I'm afraid if we're not in obedience to the will of God, that He'll come and blow the candle away. And when He blows the candle away, it's dark and it's closed. Lord, help us to be obedient. I know this church, God is leading us into a different level. And I have seen changes in the hearts of the people here, loving God more, reading the Word more, worshiping God. And that is the most encouraging thing that a human being can ever see. Don't give up. Don't quit. Serve Him. Love Him. Go in full force against the enemy. Go in full force against the enemy. The Egyptians went full force. The enemy will come full force. You're just not going to stand there. You're going to go full force against them. And how do we do that? Being faithful in our time in prayer. Being faithful in studying the Word of God. Being faithful in attending the church. Being faithful in doing what God has called you to do and God has called me to do. Go and make disciples into all this world. When we do those things, God will pour out this blessing upon your life. But rest assured, my friends, rest assured, Church of God, He has our back. Trusting God through the process of change, make sure that He's leading you. Recognize God can be exactly where you need Him to be at the moment in which we need Him to be in, because He is a source of supply. Call on Him when you're in trouble, and if you do, God has your back. Let's all stand for a moment this morning. As the musicians come forward, one more song before we conclude. If we can have a song of just surrendering our hearts, surrendering our lives, just saying, Lord, I want to come to You today. I want to worship You. I want to adore You. I want to love You more today. And if anybody here is going through that transition today, trust Him through this transition. He will help you overcome this transition this morning. He will help you. Don't resist change, church. Just allow Him and say, yes, there's change in my life, but Lord, I know that You're there with me. And I know if You're there with me. You will supply for my family, and You will do everything to help you to get out of the situation. He wants to bring you to a bigger and a better place than any human being can ever bring in your life. Amen. Let's sing one more song together, and then we're just going to conclude in prayer.